Good morning. This is The Burner. I am James Butler, and it is the gruesomely early hour of 6:09 a.m. on Wednesday, the 13th of November. Here's what matters today. Yesterday, the Tories doubled down on their attack on Labour's spending plans, or rather, what they've imagined Labour's spending plans might be. Despite ridicule from interviewers and journalists, the Conservatives have clearly lighted on this as their attack strategy, especially pushing that headline figure of £1.2 trillion. Now, if Tory candidate after Tory candidate is prepared to go into TV stations or on the radio and face incredibly awkward questions like, "You've plucked these numbers out of your backside, haven't you?" or "What's your spending total then?" they must really feel they're going to get something out of it. I think the answer is the obvious one. They think people will be scared by the number, and that if they can make the debate all about the number, even if the debate is about whether the number's fake or not, then that fear will still seep across. They have lots of reasons to want to keep the debate on that number. Though ONS figures released yesterday sees Britain just skirting recession, it's hard to feel like the economy is doing well. The geographer David Harvey has a nice line on this. The economy might be doing well, but the people are doing very badly. In this case, the economy's flatlined and the people are doing worse. Regular real pay remains below its level prior to the 2008 crash. That's a lost decade in living standards. The majority of people in poverty are people in work. Yesterday's earning numbers don't include the self-employed, half of whom earn under the minimum wage. That's 1.8 million people, roughly the size of the population of Birmingham and Liverpool put together. One in four people in work have trouble meeting their basic living costs because they can't predict how much money they'll have coming in. That's up from one in five in 2017. One in three people in work would struggle to deal with an unexpected bill over £100, one in three. Look around you on the way to work this morning, or think of your family and friends. One in three have so little to fall back on, so little buffer. Those stories are real and they're all around us. That's why sometimes it can be infuriating to hear politicians praise the economy when they talk in abstracts or about exciting technology rather than people's wages. Or they just sound like they're talking about another planet. So often when politicians talk about the economy, it's because they don't want to talk about the people. And sometimes you just want to say, "Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining."
Look, this is an amazing country. It's going gangbusters in so many ways. We lead the world in so many technologies.
But it looks like the fight on the economy is only going to grow anyway. Last night, John McDonnell stepped up his argument with Sajid Javid, who appears to have completely bottled a TV debate with the Shadow Chancellor. Addressing Javid in a straight-to-camera piece, McDonnell challenged him to a real debate. But of the Bromsgrove chicken, there is still no sign. Perhaps he fears getting splattered. There's a serious point here, which is that in an election campaign, the public deserve the people vying for their vote to have it out in public. British elections haven't always been very good at that. They grew from being virtually private affairs for very few participants into contests dominated by paranoid media management and micro-messaging. And as much as I don't think televised debates get away from that very much, at least they'd have to stand there and defend their claims, or frankly say anything about their programmes or their record in power for the past decade. Maybe that prospect just doesn't appeal. If the debate on the economy really does spread out from that headline attack figure, it might not prove smooth sailing for the Tories. Harold Macmillan, in the 1959 general election, warned his Tory campaign team not to talk about Labour spending sprees. After all, to lots of people, especially those in straitened circumstances, spending sounds really rather good. Perhaps Conservatives are hoping that after decades of the Thatcherite consensus, which now looks rather threadbare, people are scared of spending, especially if they think the country is as broke as many of them are. But both major parties are going into this election promising spending, so perhaps the argument then transforms into who will spend best, on what, and in whose interests. That might be dicey ground indeed. The filing deadline for nominations is tomorrow, and all parties have candidate scandal stories, many of which are dug up, especially for new Labour candidates, from historic social media. That's one way our digital footprints are really going to change politics over the course of the next decade. Every error and a lot of photos are all over the internet. But there is one candidate who put it where everyone could see. That's the Tory candidate for South Cambridgeshire, Anthony Brown. Brown used to advise Johnson as mayor, and in books and articles, ones written for The Spectator while Johnson was the editor, he has advocated for a monoracial state, blamed migration for police violence, and excused people voting for the fascist BNP. What a guy. Here's a selection roundup for you. Having selected him just the other day, Lib Dems have just deselected Rob Flellow, who is an ex-Labour MP, over his views on gays and abortion, which were right there in the voting record. Did they forget to check? Lib Dems have selected the shouty EU flag-draped Stop Brexit man from outside Parliament as a candidate in Wales. One hesitates to suggest that's a metaphor for the party as a whole. Tories have reselected Chris Davies, the convicted fraudster who lost in Brecon after the recall petition, to stand in Ynys Mon. Rather more gruesome, the sex text Tory Andrew Griffith steps down from his selection after his estranged wife stood to try to force him out. She's now the candidate. And that's opposed to Andrew Griffith, no S, who is a Johnson donor who lent Johnson his £10 million Westminster townhouse during his leadership bid, who has been selected for a safe Tory seat. It's good to have friends. Rumours circulate as well that the Tory manifesto launch will be delayed until just 2 weeks before the election in order to minimise scrutiny and the risk of a voter backlash. They are, of course, afraid of the one sparked by Theresa May's dementia tax in 2017, so they want to keep the focus just on Brexit. But I'm not entirely sure Labour would really mind having their own manifesto centre stage for a while. Manifesto story is one we'll keep an eye on. On the question of the manifesto, Labour's Clause 5 meeting is this weekend. That's where the trade unions and representatives debate and sign off on their manifesto. Expect pressure from grassroots Labour campaigns to get the policy that they passed at conference this year into the manifesto proper. One of those campaigns, Labour for a Green New Deal, is launching canvassing and campaign tools this morning. Youth climate strikers are also demonstrating again outside Tory campaign HQ this afternoon to get Boris Johnson to participate in a climate debate. We will doubtless hear more rumblings about Clause 5 as the week develops. The election is beginning to show signs of repolarising. Last night, Tim Walker, the Liberal Democrat standing against Rosie Duffield in Canterbury, decided to stand down from his challenge. He recognised that a Liberal candidate in a Labour Tory marginal, where the MP is an ardent Remainer, might risk letting in a Tory instead. Now, Canterbury was the shock victory of 2017's election for Labour, but the Lib Dems last night said they'd field another candidate anyway. The local party are reportedly unhappy, but you've got to wonder about the Lib Dem strategy here, which makes very little sense as a pure Remain one. But perhaps it makes a bit more sense if you're thinking about party advantage one election ahead. Today, Labour launches a £26 billion plan to rebuild the NHS. As you can tell, Labour's messaging in this election is very, very strong and very focused on the health service. And that's partly because the Tories have tried to make it part of their messaging, and it is traditionally a Labour strength. Tying the announcement in today to the IFS's report into the effects of local government cuts means trying to ensure the link is made between the past decade of the Conservative government and the growing crisis in social care alongside ballooning NHS waiting lists, which are now at 4.4 million people. What else today? The NHS story is on the front pages, so the Labour Party will doubtless push very, very hard to move any economic conversation back to it or link it in. The more concrete Labour can make those stories, the better for the party. It's not about numbers, but about your nan, that kind of thing. But there will, I'm sure, also be attempts to demonstrate that the fiscal policies underneath are copper-bottomed. Boris Johnson gives his first stump speech at an electric car plant in the West Midlands today. That's going to aim to hit hard at Corbyn. But standing in an electric car plant surely brings up questions on Tory climate policy. Where their plans only give a vague commitment to decarbonisation by 2050, with emissions keeping pumping out and poisoning the planet for at least another 20 years. The Lib Dems are under fire for their plans to yet again do a top-down reorganisation of the NHS, exactly the same kind of reorganisation that screwed the health service and threw it into chaos under the coalition. The Trussell Trust this morning releases figures showing another spike in food bank use, with the busiest six-month period since it opened. Michael Gove slithers across TV screens and airwaves this morning. Expect him to act as an attack dog. And BBC Question Time announced last night that Nigel Farage, in some ways their favourite son, is returning for the first of their leader election specials. But hold on, you might say. Haven't they stood down almost everywhere? Why on earth is the leader of a minority party given such prominence? You might well wonder. The issue of the day, that looks like it's going to be that big, big fight on the economy. But which way will it spin? Now, as we go on producing this briefing, I want to hear from you. Tell me about the issues, campaigns and mobilisations going on in your part of the UK. I want stories, concerns and just about anything else. Send them through to me at james@navarramedia.com or tweet on the hashtag TheBurner. That's it. This is The Burner. I will see you tomorrow. This broadcast is brought to you by Navarra Media. Go to support.navarramedia.com.